Hi, I'm Ava Gustafson.
And I'm Lucas Ruiz. You were just listening to a group of Lafayette students playing with Chu, the college writing program's mascot and beloved friend of Emma Hedrick. Chu is a small black pug with a shiny black coat, and Emma is coordinator of Lafayette College's writing program.
In the next 10 minutes, we'll introduce you to Chu and Emma and tell the story of Chu's transformation from show dog to woman's best friend. This transition represents how the kind of human-dog relationship is dependent on what humans value.
Actually, Chu had a lot of changes in her life when she went from a visual purpose to a more emotional one. One could say that Emma and Chu's relationship has become more emotionally symbiotic.
Pugs have been in Emma's life ever since her childhood. Her family got their first two pugs through her second grade teacher, and Emma also got Chu from her. These pugs have been in different stages of Emma's life, and now as an adult, she has one of her own.
Emma told us she first got Chu during the pandemic when she was already 4 years old. She had just come from being in the dog show, so going from the pandemic to a new owner was definitely a change of pace for her.
This was definitely a big change of pace for everyone, too. Many dogs during the pandemic either grew up or got used to the idea that their owner is around all the time and they had relatively little socialization. Now cutely referred to as pandemic puppies, this new lifestyle can really impact human-dog relationships and what dogs expect from them. We asked Emma about how her relationship with Chu was affected.
And because it's just her and me, especially in the beginning, even if I left into another room, she would have to come find me. Or like if I closed the bathroom door, she would scratch at it until I opened it. She really like struggles, I think, with like just being alone.
We looked it up, and this behavior is actually not unusual from dogs after the pandemic. According to a recent data from the PDSA, Animal Wellbeing Report in 2021, 18% of dogs acquired since March of 2020 were displaying signs of distress when left alone.
Yes, and according to the Humane Society of the United States, digging or scratching at doors or windows is a sign of separation anxiety because they are distressed from being away from their owner. Emma agrees.
Because I got her during the pandemic, she has like super severe separation anxiety.
Unfortunately, many dogs post-pandemic seem to struggle with it too. According to a study conducted by CertaPet, which surveyed over 2,600 American dog parents across all 50 states in 2021, 76% of American dogs experience separation anxiety. Mine does as well.
Exactly, and as owners keep returning back to work in person, this continues to be a problem. Luckily for Chu, Emma is able to bring her to work, and they can be there for each other. When asked about their office dynamic, Emma said,
"That's all she does, is just, like, lie there and snore. And sometimes it's, like, a welcome distraction if she gets up, because also it means that I get to get up and, like, take her outside or something, which I think is a good incentive when you work at a desk most of the day." Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, the pandemic enabled them to create a bond that they continued to take advantage of outside and inside of the writing office.
Chu's new life with Emma is a greatly different lifestyle from her previous show dog life. Instead of an emotional companion as Chu currently serves, a show dog's looks are more heavily valued. This importance comes from the centuries of selective breeding to achieve an ideal appearance, also known as a breed standard, which has created some health issues for breeds, including pugs.
According to the American Kennel Club, a pug must have a rounded, large skull, short limbs, a muscular build, and with a scrunched-up face. However, this standard can be responsible for the infamous breathing issues. Emma told us that it can be made worse from weight, too.
So before I was here, I was living in Texas for grad school. And she was a little heavier. She was closer to like 19 or 20 pounds then. And one time when I took her to the vet had suggested that she needed like this $2,000 surgery where I think they like remove part of the soft palate or something like in their mouth to let pugs breathe easier. I opted to try to see if losing some weight for her was like a better, cheaper option.
Yeah. Chu also isn't the only one with these health issues. According to Jess Pierce in her book, Run Spot Run, these species have been subjected to selective evolutionary pressures, including goal-oriented breeding by humans over hundreds of thousands of years, and have undergone significant genetic, morphological, and behavioral changes from their wild ancestors. Domesticated species take on distinctive coloration, have smaller teeth and smaller brains, and have foreshortened snouts.
As a result of breeding to the standard, pugs are also notoriously known to have bad teeth. Emma even told us.
And in dog shows, they're only required to have one tooth to be able to be in them because their teeth are so bad usually.
I find this minimal requirement concerning because it shows how dog shows have not been prioritizing dogs' health. John Bradshaw addresses this issue in his book Dog Sense, where he states, "These winning dogs are considered prize stock and make hugely disproportionate genetic contributions to the generation, resulting in purebreeds whose idolized appearance belies their deteriorated health."
However, when owners address and care for their dogs' health issues, they can mitigate their struggles. Emma, for example, gives Chew dental chews daily to prevent teeth issues. In addition, while Chew does not severely struggle with typical pug issues, she does have her own neurological condition.
Starting in February of this past year, she had some kind of neurological episode where she would wake up from a nap and not be able to stand completely, and her head would just turn to the side and stay there. So it seemed like possibly a stroke. She had some scans done and stuff, and they couldn't find a tumor or anything. But since it happened again, I think in April and then again in July, since then, she's been on anti-seizure medication, so has to take that 3 times a day.
This goes to show how the care from the owner can really impact a dog's life despite any evolutionary issues that have been caused by humans. Since Emma doesn't cause or hesitate to take care of her dog's health problems, we can say Chew is in good hands.
But other dog owners have been criticized for creating additional health problems by performing cosmetic procedures such as ear cropping, tail docking, and selective breeding. Author of Inside of a Dog, Alexander Horowitz, finds that breeding standards are connected to inherited disorders. Specifically, she says Dalmatians with patches are less likely to be deaf, but the standard says patches are a disqualification. These procedures and breeding choices show the importance these owners place on their dog's appearance as compared to others.
Another important part of our relationships with dogs is how we choose to name them. Many times, humans give dog names based on superficial ideas. Although it can be argued that your dog does not understand the meaning behind their name, it can still represent how you view your dog.
We asked Emma how Chew originally got her name, and she said it comes from the designer shoe brand Jimmy Choo, along with her mom's name being Ruby Slippers. While the breeder might have had a knack for shoes, Emma took advantage of this name and made it much more personal.
Kind of. Now make it short Chew for Chewbacca, because I feel like that suits her as a pug, making the kind of noises that a Wookiee makes.
I think that Chew as Chewbacca shows a much more personal and loving nickname, even connecting to one of the quintessential pug traits.
This connection shows how Chew's personality is really important to Emma and not just the cuteness of a pug.
Well, you said it, Chewie.
It's clear to us that Emma takes great care of Chew and values her more than just a dog, but we also wanted to know what Chew does for her. In response, she says,
I feel like it's a reciprocal relationship, and that, I help, I provide her food and a place to live, but also, especially since I got her during the pandemic and wasn't, I was in grad school in Texas but came home to Pennsylvania. She was like a reason to leave the house and go outside and do things, and still is, on a day where maybe a Saturday where you just want to stay in bed all day and watch TV, it's good to have a reason to leave
Yeah.
the house and, go for a walk or something. So I really appreciate that.
I'm also thankful to have my dog to come home to. Other owners also value their dogs, like family members, and they become a central part of our lives. Specifically, in Run Spot Run, Pierce explains more and more animals are living inside, and it's common to hear animals spoken of as family. We have ways of indulging our pets that would have been unimaginable 40 years ago.
Just like hanging up photos of your family, Emma has contemporary art of pugs hanging on her walls. Chew also always seems to be around too, consistently snoring next to her as she works in her office.
I love how Chew serves as an excellent companion for big trips, like car rides with Emma and being her desk partner. I wish my dog could do that.
Yeah, I mean, she likes to be where the action is, so she'd much rather come with me, than be left alone. She's actually really good in car rides. We drove from Pennsylvania to Texas
Oh, wow.
over 3 days, and she was great. Usually just slept the whole time.
To think that Chu once had the purpose of a show dog and was able to fulfill the role of a lovable companion. She adds joy to her owner's life and is one you can truly rely on.
Dogs, I feel like, just add to my life, yeah, for sure.